Which is one of the more disturbing things about Trump pulling out of the Paris Climate Agreement, is that what it says is that we're not in this together. I mean, even more so than it says that these guys are, I mean, he has advisors, and this EPA guy is a very dangerous character that's a climate change denier, and there's so much anti-science going on in this administration, you wouldn't even know where to begin, right? But one of the real problems is that we're moving away from this group of people that's trying to figure out what to do about emissions. What do we do about all this garbage? What do we do about all this waste? And it's not even necessarily just about climate change. It's about sustainability. It's about what are we doing with the byproduct of civilization.
If there's one thing that should cut across political lines, it's that question. What
yes.
do we do about the things that jeopardize us all together?
And if it's one thing that should disturb us about capitalism, the number one thing is putting profit ahead of the environment that we literally need to sustain life. And that's something they're trying to do. Bringing back fucking coal. Coal.
Of all things.
And they have these coal miners on TV, and they don't even agree with it. They interviewed a bunch of coal miners today that were President Trump supporters. They were happy, and they voted for Trump because he's going to bring back coal. And they're like, well, I don't know about this. Why is he stepping away from the climate change thing, though? Like, even people in the coal mining industry are torn on this. I mean, this is a very dark time in that way.
Very dark. And, you know, and ironic, too, because, I mean, we're now behind the eight ball because we've put this off for so long. We should have started doing this 25 or 30 years ago. But even now, it is actually not as hard as people think to figure out how the world might function that didn't create this jeopardy as a matter of byproducts of everyday activity. It's actually not that difficult. But the system is built to frustrate it. So, you know, in the same sense, if you step back from the last presidential election and you think about how is it that we ended up with two such lousy candidates for this position with such power, something in the system has to be off that we don't end up with any viable candidates for that office. And it's the same problem. We are caught in loops that prevent proper solution making. It's not that solution making isn't possible. It's that solution making is not someplace we can go from here because of mundane reasons in our system that are ultimately going to kill us if we're not careful.
Well, it's also such a complicated structure that outside of completely radical change, like restructuring everything from the bottom up, like tearing it down literally to the foundation and rebuilding it, how else are you going to fix this thing with lobbyists and special interest groups and congressmen and representative government? It's like there's so many different areas that allow for the possibility of corruption and influence and just cronyism. It's such a dark and twisted corridor that you enter into if you consider any kind of reform.
Well, it can't be reform, and it's not going. We can't tear it down either. I mean,
well, what we do?
Well, that's an interesting question, and I must say it's something that a number of friends of mine and I have been working on for some time. There are answers which 5-7 years ago I wouldn't have thought possible that I now believe actually are possible. And so what we're really talking about, we can't have revolution. We can't afford it, nor will it work. The power arrayed against revolution is so immense that it's inconceivable that it could function. We also can't afford a disruption massive enough to cause the system to restructure on its own, if for no other reason than the fact that we've got more than 400 nuclear reactors on Earth today that require constant inputs of power, or they melt down and spill not only the contents of the reactors, but the contents of the spent fuel pools where we've stored decades worth of spent material. So basically, we have to restructure the system without letting it collapse and without confronting it in the traditional way. So we need effectively revolutionary change without revolution. However, notice that your life today doesn't look all that much like your life 30 years ago from the point of view of how you go about things, how you navigate around the world. Things sweep across civilization in a market system based on utility. And that model can also be used to replace the system that we have currently. So in essence, if you think forward, what is the world going to look like 20 years from now? It's very hard to know because you know how much change has come in the last 20 years. So there will be revolutionary change. At the moment, it will be dictated by a market, and it will basically give us more of what we think we want rather than what we actually need. However, the same mechanism that causes technologies to sweep across civilization can be utilized to have meaningful change in the way we interrelate with each other and the way we govern ourselves sweep across civilization. So that's the project that we've been working on behind the scenes.
So what is the project? Like, how does it work?
Well, it involves different people with different expertise, and there are those who are expert in the technological aspects, in other words, identifying those technologies that actually stand a good chance of replacing the dangerous stuff that runs civilization now. There are those of us who are involved in the game theoretic aspects of what it is that keeps the current system stabilized as it is and what would have to change in order to replace it.
You think about all this Kathy Griffin shit.
She's ridiculous.
It's fucking insane.
She needs friends.
Why are you doing that?
It's just, it's 100%
attention. What a call for
attention,
man. What a bullshit
it's
call for attention.
Being edgy. She thought she was being edgy, and she probably was talking with the wrong people and got the wrong idea in her head and went with it and had no one like you around to go, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. That's the president,
right.
And it's a person.
Yeah, it's a human.
But, yeah, you can't pretend you want to murder him ISIS style and hold his head up to the camera like a hostage video. That's fucking crazy.
I think it's one of those things where both parties, both extreme left and extreme right, are at such a heightened version of what's happening that people are becoming blind to, like, logic.
Yes. Like, you're 100% right.
Logic is like, it's gone.
Yeah.
You would fucking never. If somebody did that with Obama...
Ugh.
Holy shit.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I mean, the fucking world would stop spinning. There'd be so much chaos from that. It would be fucking, it would be an insane thing to see that happen.
Well, look, it's just, that's not anyone's solution. Like, that's not a real, like, holding up that head is not a real solution. Like, killing anybody like that.
It's a taunt.
Not only that, even if it's like the worst person in the world, cutting their head off and holding it up like that is fucking barbaric. We wouldn't even want that from Osama bin Laden.
No.
If we found the video of Osama bin Laden and one of the SEALs held him down and cut his head off and then held it up to the camera, we'd be fucking extremely, like, what are we doing? Why didn't you just kill him?
Kill him.
Like, we're not them.
Shoot him and
kill
him.
We're not torturing him. We're not trying to terrorize all these other people. We are not going to become what we're afraid of.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's what she's doing. By holding that head up, you are becoming what you are afraid of. You're becoming a monster. You're dead faced. You're not even emotionally attached to the fact that you're holding up this bloody head.
No.
Like, what kind of nonsense, false imagery is this? Like, you don't really think that. You don't really feel that. Is it art? Like, what is it? Is it art?
That's what I'm sure. That's what the argument from her sake was. It's an artistic piece with a photographer who's.
But it's about a real person. It's not Medusa. It's not like a dragon's head you're holding up. This is crazy.
If it's your own head.
Yes.
It's your own head. You can make a funny statement. If you're trying to make a statement, sure.
But it's like, what are you doing? You're terrorizing that person. If you're that, you just have. I know everybody thinks that the president has to assume a certain amount of mockery, and I agree that he does.
Sure,
I agree. Everybody in any position of power like that you're gonna have people coming at you.
Of course.
But there's a difference between that and advocating a brutal assassination and terror video. I mean, that's
head removal.
That's
no
just
less.
Yeah. It's not. That's not, no one's going to be sympathetic towards your idea. And in fact, you're going to empower the people that are opposed to you because they're going to think, oh, these people are these crazy ideologues who want to, like, literally promote the murder and torture of someone, cutting their head off. The whole thing is crazy. But it's just, it's something that people do when they're trying to get attention or they're trying to entertain or trying to be shocking. It's just.
It's a continuation of trying to be in people's frontal lobe, you know? It's like people in Hollywood at some point just want to stay in Hollywood. And I feel like that's what she does a lot. I want to do something controversial on the fucking New Year's Eve host that she does or whatever so she can stay in Hollywood. It's such a this great director once told me that imagine if this is an actor and as if we're the sun and you know the sun and the earth and moving around one another, just like an actor in a spotlight. It's as if the spotlight is on the actor at some point, but when it moves away, if the actor tried to move towards it, is when it becomes sad. when it's shifted out of your line of sight, when your work and your progress has shifted as if your time perhaps maybe coming to a close as far as it's worth, when you are continuing to search for it, there's nothing more desperate and more obvious. He's like, you can always see when someone's hunting for it again. It looks sad. It looks desperate.
It's also contrary to the very reason people like you in the first place. Like, people like you because you're doing things they enjoy.
Exactly.
You're doing good work. You're doing good comedy. You're making a good movie. Whatever the fuck you do, making a good song. That's why they like you. They don't want to like you because you're trying to get attention.
Yeah.
Or that you're trying to get people to just, what? I mean, what is that? I mean, what do you get out of holding a head? Like, what kind of attention? Do you get like a,
what did
yeah,
she think? What did
yeah,
she think?
You go, girl. Yeah. Like, yeah, we're with you. Fuck him. Kill him. Like, there's people that do think like that, and they could have easily been right. There might be left. They could have easily been right. It's a way of thinking, and you get that way of thinking, and then you program yourself. You get locked into this predetermined pattern of behavior.
Yeah.
Like, all right-wing people, like a giant percentage of them have like an established series of opinions about certain things that we count on because they're the right? Like abortion,
right.
Or even it used to be gay marriage was one of them. There's always a bunch of them that are just, climate change is one of them. Like, it's like halfway there, like maybe 25% of them hardcore on the right. Whereas the left, climate change is almost 100% accepted, right?
Without question.
It's weird. Like, how do these ideas become right or left ideas?
Yeah, who logged them into the database of which side do they belong on?
It's talking points. People on Fox News start talking about it. People agree with it. They like convenient things. Ah, it's a cycle. It comes, goes. Don't worry about it. What we need is jobs. And right. Then they run with that. And it's a total. It's this predetermined pattern that people just love to fall into, man. It's weird.
It's creepy. There should no longer be separation of just permanent party. It shouldn't be you're always left and always right. That's so fucked up.
We're too vulnerable.
Yeah.
I feel it myself. I feel myself the urge to be a part of groups. I do it all the time.
We all do. That is nature and habit, right? Everyone wants to belong to a community.
Yeah.
That's why fraternities exist. That's why when you join a gym, you start to, you know, the moment you join a gym, you start to see people repetitively that you know, and it starts off with a, hey, what's up? That guy you see all the time, and then it's, hey man, I'm da da da. Oh yeah, I'm da. And then it becomes a relationship you create because it's communal. Because we both do this thing we both enjoy. I see you often. We do this thing. We create tribes. We love haciendas. We like to be a part of our little tribe. And when it gets infiltrated, you become vulnerable. You feel like the walls are weakening. It's almost like when the word gentrification. Gentrification really just means a tribe's area has been compromised. You know, it's like this has been this for so long. When white people or people of privilege or money move into anywhere, they're trying to overtake that tribe. That's why there's so much backlash. That's why people fucking get so angry about neighborhoods turning over, quote unquote, because they're like, what can be ours? It's such a fucking delicate thing because you're like, you can't stop that. You're never going to stop that.
Well, not only that, there's a game being played and you're a part of it because you're paying rent.
Yep.
And there's a game being played. You're a part of it when you're working. You're getting paid for your time during the. Now you have to decide what you're going to do with that time.
Yeah.
And you might feel very stuck in this game that you're at right now, where you're paying this guy for rent and you're working for that guy, and he's giving you a certain amount of money, and it all kind of like evens out at the end. There's nothing left over, but you're still playing a game. This guy's playing the game too, but he's been playing it for 35 years, and his game is I buy houses,
right,
and I sell them to white people. And I'm going to keep playing that fucking game because this is all legal and this is why you pay me rent, stupid. It's a fucking, right. We know the game, but the game is I'm 30 years ahead of the game than you.
Right.
And, you know, I'm a 70-year-old guy with a fucking pocket protector filled with pens, and I've got a bunch of apartment buildings all over the place, and I flip those fuckers. There's a lot of those guys out there. Like, this gentrification thing, I know it's uncomfortable for people. They're like, we're losing the old neighborhood. Like, let's go back to the fucking teepees. Let's go back to the cave. We lost the old caves, man. We're not the same once we moved out of the cave. It's going to happen.
It's
neighborhoods shift. Things change. You can't hold them back. You can't decide, no, we want this neighborhood to stay shitty. You know, or we want this neighborhood to be all Puerto Rican. Well, listen, sometimes it doesn't work that way. Some people die. New people move in. Do you really care if Swedish people move in your neighborhood? You know, we're losing Chinatown. What do we do? Are you going to be okay?
Yeah.
Is it okay if you live here or people? There's going to be change. It's going to come and go. You can't control it.
Right.
And you can't control it based on nostalgia. This has always been East Harlem's finest Slovakia place. We have to keep it. Like, no, we don't. No one has to do anything.
I do love East Harlem's famous Slovakia place, I will say.
I don't even know what that is. No.